Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast where we exist.
Yeah, and we give you writing tips and life tips and dog tips.
Or maybe we give you nothing. It's up to you. But I'm Carrie Jones, and this is my husband,
Sean Farrar.
And that's it, man. I don't really feel like talking about ourselves. I don't feel like being like, I'm an international best-selling novelist.
Well, now you're just talking about yourself.
I know. It just seems uncool. But we've got cred, all right?
We're just two regular people.
With some cred.
Trying to pay the bills.
So we don't know why we do this podcast.
Well, I have off the top of my head.
Hey, we don't have a random thought.
Are we recording?
Yeah, we are.
Man, you gotta like turn the light on or something.
Big red flashy light on the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the weirdest, randomest writing podcast you'll ever find in your whole gosh darn life.
That's probably true.
But anyways,
what did we do for the? Did we just skip last week altogether?
Yeah, we kind of failed last week.
New Year's week off.
Yeah, well, you know what? Sometimes you know you gotta have like a holiday, man, and like.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes that holiday is a little unplanned because life doesn't.
A little unplanned. We had a good week down in Florida.
I wish. Yeah. We have not gone anywhere for many a long time.
Many a long time.
Many a long time. Why are you laughing?
Because it's true and depressing.
Is that depressing? Randomly.
You're looking up writing news?
I don't know. It's a writing podcast.
Is that weird?
Writers are weird.
Some are, I guess.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That first one's pretty interesting.
So the first one, we did a Google search and writing news. And the first thing that came up was New Jersey ending basic reading and writing skills test requirement for teachers.
Yeah, who needs those skills?
Yeah, man. So basically, a law prohibiting the New Jersey State Board of Examiners from requiring basic reading, writing, math, and math tests for teachers went into effect, according to this Fox News article. And no longer do you have to pass that to be eligible to teach in public schools.
That is crazy.
Yep. I'm sure there must be hopefully something deeper about that.
I'm sure there is.
Just that headline.
There's gotta be.
The second random thing that popped up was writing as transformation from the New Yorker. And I don't think I have a... oh, it's by Louise Gluck. I love her.
I'm going to cough.
Don't!
Couldn't help. That was a pretty picture up there, though.
Yeah. I can't read this because I don't have a...
We don't have a subscription to the New Yorker.
No, because I don't have enough money to randomly spend it on everything.
It's only $100 a month.
Probably.
For the New Yorker.
And then, finally, Forbes, 11 days ago, wrote, why leaders should add writing to their leadership toolkit in 2025.
I don't know. Well, writing's a great skill to have.
It's a very important skill because it's communicating, right? And, like, as communicators, like, we need to be able to...
communicate.
So, one of the things in here is something we're actively going to preach against in our podcast, in this Forbes article.
Oh, really?
And it's that the cognitive science behind writing 700 to 800 words, according to this Forbes article, optimal cognitive load for people, right? That is that humans process information best when it's presented in manageable chunks. I believe that. A 700 to 800 word piece, it says, offers just enough depth to explore a topic without overwhelming the reader, aligning with the average adult's 5 to 7 minute attention span for a single task.
Can I take a guess and say that your argument is that that's too long?
No, my argument is that that's just bullshit. I'm so tired of the bullshit. I'm sorry. I'll put a fucking thing on here. But I'm just...
Three cuss words in less than 10 seconds.
You can tell I really feel really
so
passionately about this.
Yes,
honestly,
can.
Because I don't think it's true. And in a second, and this is really funny that this randomly showed up,
yeah,
right?
It is.
Because that's what our podcast is about. Hold on.
That's crazy. We'll
talk about this in a hot sec. We're back.
First thing we gotta say... we got to clear the air. Carrie never used to swore.
Swore? I never used to swore.
She never used to swear. Until me.
Mm-hmm. People made fun of me.
I'm so proud.
I mean, I did in high school.
So very proud of my accomplishments.
So, I did in high school. I had said the F-bomb a lot in high school in Jackie Shriver's car, which was a red Mustang, yeah. Very snazzy. And I thought it made me cool. But then everybody would always laugh at me when I said the F-bomb because I didn't sound natural saying the F-bomb. And so then I just stopped swearing because nobody wants to be laughed at when you're swearing.
Until I taught you.
And then Shawnee.
That's the most powerful word in the world.
Hearing Shawnee constantly swear all day long has somehow impacted me, and now I can swear. I'm sorry that I did, though. All right, ready?
Yes.
There's a feeling among many writers and bloggers and content creators, like the people who just wrote that Forbes article, that our brains are too overwhelmed by a high cognitive overload to want to read anything that isn't super quick and fast and 700 to 800 words, apparently. And I get this, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of information out in this world, right?
Yep.
Short form content is, they say, the key. Tim Denning describes short-term short-form content as...
Where you share big ideas, be a little contrarian, drop cliffhangers for your stories, and share who you are. It gives people a taste. Many old-school writers want to ask a stranger on the street and send them to their newly published book on Amazon. Want to take a stranger on the street. All the reader has to do is give up $15 to $20.
They don't really want to take the stranger. Yes.
Like kidnapping.
Yeah. No, I was thinking sex.
Oh, well. Let that's me take after you the on kidnapping. The
street.
Anyways.
Okay.
Many old school writers want to take a stranger on the street and send them to their newly published book on Amazon. All the reader has to do is give up $15 to $20 and 15 to 20 hours of their life, Denning writes. None of this works anymore. Because the internet and all its information have burdened us with a high cognitive load. Our brains hurt.
So yeah, I, and maybe Sean by the end of this podcast, says to hell with all that. Because one size doesn't fit everyone. And that comes to readers of everything. Readers of books, readers of blogs, readers of news sites, readers of magazines. And to say that it does fit, and that's the only way to be, it's depressing and it's fatalistic and it's self, like it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I only expect to read 200 words. Oh, I only expect my reels to be 1 minute long. Oh, my book must be 50,000 words, right? Like,
yeah.
It's really effing confining. And I don't feel like we need to constantly confine art and creation, right?
Right.
Okay. So high cognitive load, when it refers to writing, usually refers to the principles of plain English. But everybody's kind of tweaking this around into, like, how much we can handle. Well. Anyways, so in English, in high cognitive load, right, when you're, like, talking about how you communicate, it's really just about concise sentences. It's about active voice. It's anti-jargon, right?
Yeah.
And it's, like, keeping it short and simple. That's been a dictum of novel writing when it comes to length. Make it only 50,000 words. God forbid if it hits over 100,000. But it's also part of content creation, like reels, and keep those videos down a minute and keep the picture books to less than 500 words, right? Like,
yeah.
It goes on and on and on, like I've already expressed. But I, Carrie, not Sean, have been lucky enough to go on book tours and listen to readers complain over and over again that books are too stripped down, that they're not long enough to get lost in anymore. And those specific readers, they don't want short and simple. Someone reading Sarah Maas, someone reading James Joyce, somebody reading those books that are thick and complex, they can handle that high cognitive load, is what I'm saying. And not only that, they want it, right?
Yes.
So we've built a hyper-local daily paper, Shawnee and I, that's really kind of based on the opposite of the keep it short and simple.
Right.
We aren't simple. Our articles tend not to be short. Our word choice and sentence structure in general, though, it is, right? Especially mine. And we have no short form content to lure people in. We rarely remember to share our posts. Like, it's hard. to remember to share things on Facebook and Instagram. And when we do, it's never pithy, right? But despite this and our total lack of marketing, because we're too cheap to market, in 2 years, we've grown into a digital subscription base larger than both major legacy newspapers, weekly newspapers in our county, with their very large compared to us staffs. Right?
That's right.
Our staff of two, us, these goofballs you're listening to right now, has written over 1 million words this year just on that paper. And our open rate hovers right around 60%, right? Mm-hmm. Even as our subscriber base has increased.
Yes.
So, and we write long. There's no way around it, right? And we also give links at the bottom of our article so people who want to be informed can be informed.
That's right.
And people, they like it because they get to parse through the information and determine what matters to them when we cover something like a town meeting. We don't decide what matters for them.
That's right.
So it's like if Shawnee goes to a Tremont Select Board meeting, somebody else might think, hey, this is the sexy, juicy part of this Tremont Select Board meeting is the ambulance service, right?
Right.
But Shawnee will write about the ambulance service, about the... Tell me something that happens at Tremont, babe.
I read about everything that happens.
I know, but give specific examples. But it could be examples.
Budget stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
It could be a tractor. It could be a solar panel on a roof. The purchase of
new equipment.
Yeah. It could be, you know, people teasing each other over jumping into a puddle. It could be anything, right? And that's the whole point. Because we want people to have the information.
If they want it,
right? We trust our readers to be smart. We trust our readers to make their own decisions. So we don't write short. It's something that Heather Cox Richardson, one of the most popular writers on Substack, and Andrew Revkin, another hugely popular human, do too, right?
Yes.
Dumbing yourself and your content down is not sexy.
Nope.
It's sheepy.
Yes, it is. It's internet.
It's internet sheepling, right? Yep. Like, oh, this is what it is. This is your cognitive overload. It's, don't do over 700 people. 700 words. People can't be smart enough to follow that. It's BS. And it really, that's why I'm swearing so much, because I'm so passionate about this. You are
passionate about it.
I believe that people are smart enough to make their own decisions about what's important to them.
Right. That's right.
So anyways, the other aspect of this is something that Denning agrees with, and it's don't be afraid to be you. It's okay to be you, your weird self, your personal self, and to show it in your writing, right?
Yeah.
AI can do a lot of super amazing things, but it can't do that. It can't be personal, and it can't be you. Like when we were just reading that Forbes article, which I'm being kind of mean about, no offense to the actual writer. I have no idea who wrote that. I know nothing about them, and that's okay. But apparently it's Scott Hutchison, and he teaches leadership at Purdue. And he also apparently knows everything about cognitive neuroscience. But whatever. I don't know anything about him. His article will never stay with me. His points will never stay with me because there's no him in it. And that's why it's okay that we're the weirdest podcast about writing. And yeah, we give like tips on our blogs and stuff, and we're not immensely successful, but we're not at that part, but we're not like losing money. We're not like failing either. Right. What we're doing is being ourselves and being true, right? And so like the whole point in writing novels and in blog posts and even a tiny bit in newspapers, honestly, when you're writing anything and everything, you just need to be yourself. And especially in a world that's being full of that sheep-like mentality and that AI-style writing, you know, do this, it's so formulaic. You want to think about who you are and who you're writing for. And that's where the magic happens, and that's where communication and connection happens too.
Beautiful, baby.
What do you think? You think no?
No, I agree with you. Oh, all right. 100%.
Really?
Yeah. We would.
Is that because you want to stay married?
No.
Okay.
My example would be our newspaper. And if we had followed the traditional formats, I don't think we'd be half as successful as we have been.
No, I don't think so either.
You know?
Yeah.
Shoot.
It's really weird because we have a wonderful, successful newspaper already in our region. We have two. We are not a news desert, despite our very rural nature, like at all. We're really, really lucky. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing, right?
Yeah.
But most people are still reacting really positively to what we're doing.
Right.
Which is like we're not a biased news source. We try really, really hard not to be biased, but we're still us. And it's interesting to me how that authenticity creates freedom, which also creates trust. And we're also super open when we mess up.
Yes.
And like our corrections are very obvious and we don't have any ego involved because we're really just about trying to do the best that we can and knowing that we're human. And I think that because we're confident in that way about our purpose, I think that that's another thing that people react to. So if you're confident about your purpose and your purpose requires that you write a 150,000 word picture book, go for it. You know what I mean? Like, go for it if it's what really feels right to you. And maybe the market will be into it and maybe it won't, but you'll be into it.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
Yep.
What do you think, Bae?
Well, I think I was going to agree with one thing out of that whole...
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Tim Denning article, and you just brought it up again.
Okay.
And that was picture books.
Oh.
Because any parent knows you don't want to sit down at bedtime and have to read for 4 fucking hours to get through a picture book. And once you get rolling, the kid's not going to let you stop.
You know, I remember being like a little kid, though. Like when I was a little kid, I didn't have a lot of picture books.
No.
No, probably because we were poor and my mom had a thing against the librarian.
Little goldens and stuff?
We had little goldens, but I was really bored by most of those little goldens. And those little goldens, to be fair, are a lot longer than picture books trending right now.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Huh. But my mom would give up and she'd just get... We had this book of Grimm's Fairy Tales and we also had a book of like 365 stories, Night or something. And she'd like... read multiple ones of those stories.
Well, some of those like fairy tale books were pretty big.
Yeah.
I remember having some like hardcover ones that were like encyclopedias almost.
Yeah, you know, the truth is it's just like one size doesn't fit all. And you know what size you're writing, it's probably gonna fit somebody.
Oh, definitely gonna fit somebody.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah. Write with your heart, people. Dog tip for life. So, let's see. Our little puppy.
Puggy.
Says, don't be concise.
Oh, really?
When it's something you really, really want. To get across to people.
Really?
Like an idea or a point.
Ah.
Well, is she ever concise? No. Does she sit here at your chair in the morning for hours at a time if necessary?
Okay, come on. And you make me sound like a bad dog owner.
Well, no, you're weak and easy when it comes to that.
Oh, my God.
But my point is, don't give up. And don't give up because you think you have to follow what somebody else says is the norm. That's... point. Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
If somebody else says you should only beg for 30 seconds maximum, screw that. I mean, if Pogie's taught me one thing in this life, is that when we go to bed at night, I'm begging until I...
Sean.
I'm just kidding. Don't give up. People.
It's so hard to be.
Oh, it's terrible.
So terrible. Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast. The music was available via the Creative Commons, and it's called Summer Spliff Broke for Free, or Broke for Free by Summer Spliff.
No, I think it's Summer Spliff by Broke for Free.
Both of those work to me.
What?
Either way? I like it, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of gives you like a lackadaisical surfer attitude.
Yeah, and also, our podcast notes are where, Shawnee? Do you know?
On the thing? No, I don't know.
Our podcast notes are on Living Happy on Substack and also CarrieJonesBooks.blog and also potentially wherever you're listening to this podcast.
Like, I'm sorry, I failed there.
You're frozen.
It makes me wonder if we have like a couple of sites out there we totally forgot we about. Probably did. Anyways, thank you for listening and have a great day.
And like, share, and subscribe and all that stuff you're supposed to say.
Horrible podcasters.
We are. All the bots training on us are going to fail.
Oh, well, that's what we're doing. We're setting AI up for failure. That's our secret goal.